Okay, let me know if you have any trouble hearing me. So yeah, I don't have any slides. I just have a few things that I want to share. First of all, I want to thank Nafisa and everyone for inviting me. I'm really sorry that I can't be there in person. I had a lot of meetings and other commitments today, but I feel like I'm coming into something that's already, in the middle. And so I hope that what I'm saying is useful and fits with what has been already said. Basically, so I want to kind of introduce myself and maybe talk a little bit about methodology and where I'm coming from, because I think it's probably quite different from, as I understand it, like the context of this conversation. And then I want to specifically talk about Jewishness, diasporic and decolonial Jewishness, and then I want to talk about naming whiteness and how we do that. And some of these things may have already been covered, so but hopefully at least some of the things I say will be useful contributions. So talking about methodology, I mean, first of all, I'm coming from the US and from the northeastern part of the US, and that's just to say where I'm coming from. But I also come from performing arts, actually. I have my training is in theater making, really quite experimental theater making, experimental performance, song-based work, song movement work, and a lot of things which I think in some ways can be quite difficult to connect to the political, particularly when there are horrifying, very urgent things appearing in the news cycle and happening in the world, and it can really feel like the embodied perspectives that are held by performing arts traditions are kind of like need to be set aside. And I think to some extent that can be absolutely true, but I suppose it depends on which are the traditions that we're talking about. My methodological approach to performance studies is actually gradually become very uninterested in the theatrical reference frame and the European kind of concept of theater and the proscenium, the public spectacle, etc. And I've moved, because of my original training and then also my scholarship, towards a focus on the transmission of embodied knowledges, basically, which is a very different field. And in a sense, it's a kind of decolonizing of the field of theater studies, to look at the ways that knowledge is transmitted through what we call the body, as what I've called technique, and therefore how knowledges are circulating in ways that are not always named. And this is where I think it starts to begin. So I'm basically going to try to draw a line from some of that work towards something that's more explicitly political. The other part of how I've been doing that is through critical theories that go back to all the kinds of theories of the body that have been developed, theories of queerness, feminism, feminist theory. But I think for me, at the moment, the crucial zone of critical theory that I would want to be putting forward is critical race theory, and specifically critical Black studies as it's developed in the US particularly, and in North America. And I don't know if that's been a reference point, that's already been mentioned. But I think for me, one of the things that I've found, especially in the last couple of weeks, is that, and then coming to another aspect of my background, is that I'm not someone who's been doing Palestinian solidarity work for a long time. It's kind of always been on the horizon for me, and I've always been someone who is at least non-Zionist, or if not anti-Zionist, but it always has felt somewhat remote because my upbringing as Jewish had no real connection to Israel. And so when I've been kind of finding myself called in the last couple of weeks to speak in various contexts to what's happening in Palestine, I'm finding that, oh, well, what I have been doing for the last 10 years is taking a quite deep dive, which is still ongoing, into critical Black studies and to studies and ontologies of Blackness. In relation to diasporic Jewishness, and in relation to indigeneity as a concept, and in relation to the naming of whiteness. So I think, methodologically, that is something that I would want to offer, I suppose. I feel a great admiration and respect, and I guess gratitude is the word, to people who do the work that is understood as being more empirical. So whether it's a kind of historical tracking of dates and nations, or a sociological tracking, Anything that is kind of undertaking that empirical work in the academy and methodologically coming to grip with some of those more quantitative aspects, I feel a great gratitude and respect towards that, because partly because that's not what I do. But what I do is much more on the order of, I suppose, trying to think and consider how the phenomena of politics, such as race and racialization and coloniality and decoloniality, are operating on other levels that are not always named and that are not often considered to even rise to the level of the empirical, let alone the political. So again, I'm thinking about methodologically things that I've various people have called embodied research or artistic research forms, as well as critical theoretical interventions into the academy that are like, they're about, okay, we're operating with these kind of terms of, first of all, nation states and their nationalities, and then we have racial identities and ethnic identities and linguistic identities and statuses of citizenship. And all of these things are understood to be empirical because they are part of the structures of power. And so, yes, of course, in order to come to grips with these kinds of things, we need to grapple with them as real material identities that are attributed in various form, more or less formal ways, to individuals. These kinds of census categories that the state at various times requires us to complete, and the ways that our identities are mapped, and then our identities are kind of aggregated into these populations or these demographics, and all of that is absolutely real and empirical, but it also really underestimates what I would call the flows of knowledge that are also constituting identities. And so I guess with that, I can transition from the methodological into this kind of concept of decolonial Jewishness. I'm taking that, first of all, from Santiago Slobodsky's really important book, Decolonial Judaism, which for me was quite world-changing in the way that it reframes the very concept of Judaism and Jewish identity. I had been thinking a lot about diasporic Jewishness and a kind of de-linking, for example, from Zionism, but I think the way Slobodsky frames it is a much more radical thinking of decoloniality. And I think, I mean, that's, on the one hand, I'm seeing a lot of that, in the sense that there are organizations, especially visible in the U.S. and especially in the areas of the U.S. that I come from, like the Northeast U.S., we have very large protests in which diasporic, decolonial Jewishness and Judaism are really taking a strong position of Palestinian solidarity. And it's, I think it's tremendously important to do that in the kind of geopolitical frame. I'm honestly finding that a lot harder to get hold of in the UK. That is, I mean, there are definitely groups doing that. There are certainly individuals doing that, but I find that the absorption of Jewishness, figural Jewishness, into whiteness in the UK is more monolithic in some ways, or is at least treated as more monolithic. And so I'm looking for ways to push against that, to name the separation of Jewishness, both from Zionism and also from the organizations of religion. And again, I think this has to do with the ways that we think about bodily identities as operating above and below the levels of the individual, and above and below the levels of these very specific institutions that would like to claim identities. So you have a state, or indeed a religious organization, that would like to say, you know, we represent this identity category, and it would like to be mapped onto a specific population, a specific demographic group. And again, empirically, we have to grapple with and track those kinds of quantifications, but at the same time, we have to be aware that there is a lot going on under the surface. There is a lot of meanings of Jewishness than I'm then using Jewishness just as a kind of stand-in as for other identities as well. But there's a lot of meaning happening on the level of these identities. There's a lot of asymmetries. So one of the things that I've been thinking about, again, in the kind of apprenticeship to critical Black studies, is the asymmetry of identities and the way in which these census-based demographic, I want to say, white epistemologies of identity would like to render all of these subcategories as symmetrical. So they'd like to render different, let's say, quote unquote, racial identities or ethnic identities as part of this kind of multicultural set of identities that are all symmetrical, and genders also, as if those are symmetrical. Even gender nonconforming identities then get put into that same kind of symmetries. And I think part of what I would say critical theory and critical race theory and critical Black studies are all teaching us is that identities are not symmetrical. They simply do not operate in these ways that some of these more quantifying epistemologies would like us to grab hold of. And so if that's the case, that they don't operate only in those ways, I mean, one question is how we really begin to grapple with other ways that these identities circulate. So like, let's say you want to put forward a diasporic decolonial Jewishness that is not aligned or in some ways even counter to both Zionism and religious orthodoxy, and including even some progressive aspects in that kind of, I think, just religion as it has come to exist in the sort of Protestant definition of religion, which then is applied to Jewishness. How would you begin to do that? How would you begin to make that manifest? I think what I'm finding at the moment is that solidarity with a free Palestine is a really, really important thing to do. It's a really important starting point for that kind of manifestation, but it's also not the end point. One of the things that I was listening to today, a series of presentations recorded about Palestinian solidarity, was this kind of request that when we pass through this moment, or how do we pass through this moment? Because we're in this moment of this intensive news cycle. And of course, we don't know how it's going to end. And if we have any control over how it's going to end, we should be doing that. We should be in the streets or calling our PMs or whatever we do. But also, we should be working on how this encounter with this news cycle is changing us in more longitudinal ways, is changing us in more embodied ways, is changing our very identifications. You know, I think like in this moment, I'm sort of taking a step, for example, from identifying as a diasporic Jew who is moving towards decoloniality or looking for decoloniality to someone who's actually much more claiming a decolonial Jewish positionality, which is not a thing that is usually explicitly claimed. And again, I think solidarity with Palestine is like a really crucial leverage point for that. But it's not at all the end point of that. This is a moment in which we have the opportunity through Palestinian solidarity and through solidarity and through the idea of a free Palestine to rethink our approaches to identity in a really fundamental way that then appears in many other circles. So that's my point too, and it transitions me into my third final point, which is about naming whiteness and the different levels that we name whiteness on, because I think everything that I've just said about a diasporic decolonial Jewish identity can, in a certain sense, I mean, as I mentioned, I'm learning from a critical Blackness about how to talk about that. I'm learning from critical Indigenous politics about how to talk about that. And there are asymmetries there, but also resonances. But we also need to then apply all of these kind of quite fundamental epistemological problems and changes to I don't want to say go beyond the empirical. I really want to say to expand what counts as the empirical. We need to apply all of that to whiteness. And that is a big, big task. I mean, I think, again, when we look at the current news cycle, for me, it's like, okay, well, there is a huge, very important task that we name whiteness in the history of Palestine, that we name whiteness and the British Empire in the history of this partition and this division, that we name that history of colonialism. Like, yes, of course, that is the, again, this kind of leverage point. But again, that's not the end point, right? That's just kind of the first starting point where we have to say, okay, we can unmake this horrible kind of, again, symmetry, right? This false symmetry of like this narrative of Jews versus Muslims. That's one of these false symmetries. And we can unmake that by naming the way in which the frame, the hidden frame for that false symmetry is whiteness in the form, at least initially, of the British Empire. Then we have to take that into the present and say, okay, well, we're not talking just about whiteness as a historical empire and an originary cause 75 years ago. We're also talking about now. So then there's another whole work that needs to be done in order to name whiteness at the level of current neo-imperial connections and the supply of money and the supply of weapons and, you know, the shifting of that center of the of white power, essentially, from the British Empire to the U.S. And that kind of continuing idea of Europeanness, the continuing centrality of the nation state. So that's another level of naming whiteness. And I feel like probably, you know, I don't know if I'm guessing right, but that's probably, again, something that's considered, whether or not everyone agrees with that, I think it's probably considered within the realm of the empirical. But then I think there's much more for us to do. I think that I think, and maybe that's not true if you're located in a discipline like history or sociology, but a lot of the people that I'm talking about are feeling like, even thinking about the current politics, even thinking about current UK or US governments and what they're doing, still feels like it's too far away to really have any effective action towards it, right? Like, still, we don't, you know, we're not the ones who are choosing that government. We're not in a position to give counsel. At least the people I know are not in a position to give counsel or to transform the actions of the UK or the US government. So it's still feeling quite distant. And for me, that's where we have to enter into a more kind of profound, or at least a more long-term methodological and epistemological consideration of how whiteness is operative in our own situations. And I've been sort of starting to name whiteness in academic institutions over the last 10 years in different contexts. Recently, I hosted an event where I was putting that forward, and then some other people were taking it up. And what I'm finding is there is still, first of all, a lot of defensiveness, a lot of what could be called white fragility around the naming of whiteness and the just kind of discussing the kind of ways in which the very methods that we're working with, the buildings that we're in, the economic structures that define our work as academics, all of these things are deeply, deeply structured by whiteness, by a culture of whiteness, right? Not just by a kind of explicit, but again, I'm talking about expanding what counts as empirical. Like, I'm talking about the, you know, all of the kind of neoliberal mechanisms that are structuring our time as academics also need to get named, and the methods by which we research. And I'm finding, yeah, so just to conclude, I'm finding that there is a big split there. You know, on the one hand, there is still a lot of defensiveness, confusion, and sort of white fragility around, a lot of hurt feelings around, like, oh, you've named, you know, suddenly my work is being basically racialized in an unprecedented way. Like, how is that possible? You know, how can you reduce what I've offered to mere whiteness? And there's a lot of still offense taking around that. But there's a split, because there's also a big desire. There's a big desire, particularly from people I find in positions that are marginalized in other ways, to understand whiteness more, to actually grapple with it, to be able, you know, there can also be a feeling of relief, like, wow, we finally get to name whiteness. We finally get to understand, like, it doesn't have to be like this. The world doesn't have to be structured in this way. The university doesn't have to be structured this way. And I think, you know, I think that Jewishness, figural Jewishness, is split. It is riven down the middle by this dual relationship to whiteness, by the sort of desire that was just being referenced as well, that desire to uptake and to be absorbed into whiteness, and then on the other hand, the desire to disidentify with whiteness and to find broader solidarities. And I think that actually whiteness itself, and certainly other marginalized identities within whiteness, are also riven in that way, and that means that there is the potential to find solidarities there that are not yet spoken. Yeah, thank you.